The beginnings of this country have nothing whatever to do with the myth we have created about it. The country did not come about because a handful of people in Europe said, I want to be free, and probably built a boat or a raft and crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Not at all. Not at all. The people who settled the country, the people who came here for one reason, no matter how disguised. They came here because they thought it would be better here than where they were. That's why they came. And that's the only reason that they came. Anybody who was making it in England did not get on the Mayflower. This is important. It is important that one begin to recognize this, because part of the dilemma of this country is that it has managed to believe the myth it has created about its own past, which is another way of saying that it entirely has not denied its past. We did several things in order to conquer the country. There was, at the point we reached these shores, a group of people who had never heard of machines, or as far as I know, of money, and we promptly eliminated them. We killed them. I'm talking about the Indians. I'll bet you, as you say in Harlem, a fat man, that not many American children being taught American history have any real sense of what that collision was like, or what we really did, how we really achieved the extermination of the Indian, or what that meant. And it is interesting to consider that very few social critics, none to my knowledge, but I say very few, have begun even to analyze the hidden reasons that the cowboy and Indian legend is still one of the most popular legends in American life, so popular that it still, in 1963, dominates the television screen. And I suppose that all those cowboy and Indian stories are designed to reassure us that no crime was committed. We've made a legend out of a massacre. Now, slavery, like murder, is one of the oldest human institutions. So we cannot quarrel about the fact of slavery. That is to say, we could, but that's another story. But we enslaved him because, in order to conquer the country, we had to have cheap labor. And the man who is now known as the American Negro, who is one of the oldest of American citizens, and the only one who never wanted to come here, did the dirty work. Hold the cotton. Do you hold cotton? No. Chopped cotton, whatever you do with cotton. Pick cotton. Line track. Helped, in fact, I think it is not too strong a statement to say, but let me put it this way. Without his presence, without that strong back, The American economy, the American nation, would have had a vast amount of trouble creating its capital. If one had not had the cat to open the bars and listen to the bales, as he put it, it would be a very different country. And it would certainly be much poorer. But the people I'm speaking of who settled the country had a fatal flaw. They could recognize a man when they saw one. They knew he wasn't, I mean, you can tell. They knew he wasn't anything else but a man. But since they were Christian, and since they had already decided that they came here to establish a free country, the only way to justify the role this chattel was playing in one's life was to say that he was not a man. Because if he wasn't a man, then no crime had been committed. That lie is the basis of our present trouble, because that is an extremely complex lie. If on the one hand, one man cannot avoid recognizing another man, it is also true then, obviously, that the man, the black man, who was in captivity and treated like an animal and told that he was one, knew that he was a man and knew that something was wrong. I prefer to believe that since a society is created by men, it can be remade by men. The price for the transformation is high. Every white citizen of this country will have to accept the fact that he is not innocent, because those dogs and those hoses, those crimes, are being committed in your name.